Galatians 5, and would like to talk or bring a message about our liberty in Christ. Wonderful, wonderful thing as we look at all that God has done for us, how Christ has set us free. We just sang about Galatians chapter number 5, if you will. All right, notice with me what Paul says to this group of churches in this region of Galatia. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become, notice, of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." And we'll stop there for a minute and move around a little bit this morning in the Word of God, but looking at this first statement made that we have true liberty in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to know? We have true liberty. We sing about, we talk about this weekend and several other times throughout the year about our freedom and our liberty. I'm reminded of the Sunday school teacher that came to her class, and on Sunday morning, she was teaching the little kindergarten class. She said, "Kids, today we're talking about something so special, and it's called freedom." And they scratched their head for a minute. Okay. She said, "We're free. We're free. Isn't that wonderful? We're free." Little Johnny raised his hand in the back and said, she said, "Yes, do you have something to say?" He says, "Yes, I'm not free. I'm four." I'm not free. I'm four, man. I like that. I heard another one. A little boy came into church one day, and he looked in. On the wall, they had a picture of all the servicemen and women that had died in service. They had a plaque up on the wall, and a little boy looked it up. Pastor came by and said, "Son, what are you looking at?" He said, "Well, what is this for? What are these pictures of these people?" He said, "Well, these are the people that we know, our family and friends that have died in the service." And he thought for a minute. He got real nervous. He said, "Which service, the 8:30 or the 11 o'clock? Which one? Which service? I don't want to go into that one." What we think about today, we have true liberty. You know that Patrick Henry made the great statement. He said what? "Give me liberty, give me death. Give me liberty, give me death." We have a Savior today that died for our sins so that we can have true liberty. Now again, Paul speaking here, and he talks to us, really shares with this group of churches, really, about their liberty. Now knowing a little bit of the background, you know that these people had drifted from the truth in what Paul had told them. They went away from what God had originally intended for them. Paul came and preached to them the truth, and he says in chapter 1, "I marvel you're so soon removed." Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we as Christians so easily drift away from the things of God. And he says now to them, closing out this letter, he says, "Now stand fast." Stand fast means keep going. Keep abounding, keep serving, keep moving forward. And we know that. Every person who is not saved, whether they admit it or not, is in bondage under the elements of the world. Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. But he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That word quickened means made alive. "When in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, desiring or fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." You think about Paul says, that's where you used to be. You were in bondage. You were in bondage. Many people throughout history have been in bondage, physical bondage, by way of under arrest of some kind, in prison today. And they could identify truly with this. Paul says in a spiritual light, though, you were, now you're free. Free. Isn't that wonderful? We used to walk according to the course of this world. We know that Romans 8 and verse 15, he reminds us again, says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You see that identification? I now call him Father. I was formerly in bondage, formerly under arrest. I was formerly locked in under the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life the Bible talks about. But now there's freedom. There's freedom. We think about this weekend, how that we have this true freedom. I love these flags here. We think about all, some of you may know family members, maybe cousins or aunts or uncles or grandparents, I don't know, somebody who maybe gave the ultimate sacrifice for us to be here today. Isn't that wonderful? And I know y'all agree with me on that. We're so thankful. We're so proud of our country. Some things we don't agree with, obviously. Some things we don't identify with that our country is pushing or promoting. But overall, we know we're a blessed country. We know God's hand of grace is upon our country. That's clear. We are still, I believe, the greatest nation in all of human history. We truly are. And I know it's because of this. Our forefathers founded our nation upon this book. And that's the reason we're here today. That's why we have what we have. That's why we have what we have. A man by the name of Thomas Paine, he wrote and put out a little pamphlet around 1776. It's this very small pamphlet, but it says what? Common sense. You ever read that? Common sense. And what's he write? He says basically there's common sense that we have our own nation. We're not ruled by a dictator across the sea. We're not ruled by a monarch over there. We're not ruled by some dictatorship, if you will, that he was pushing his laws upon them. And he says it's common sense that we have our own nation, and on he goes. As I think about today, it's common sense for us as believers, children of God, to understand that we have one Lord and one God, and that's who we seek to please. That's what we do. And because of the price he paid on that cross, the very least we can do is what? Stand fast in that liberty. Christ made you free. Christ made you free. You didn't make yourself free. You didn't walk along a line and keep the path and not do certain things and abstain from sin and you cleaned yourself up. No, Christ did it, didn't he? In fact, Isaiah chapter 64 says this, that all of our righteousnesses, plural, the good things we do are as filthy rags to the Lord. That doesn't mean he looks down and says, oh, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it good enough. What's it saying? His holiness is so high that our attempts to get up to that are in view like a filthy rag. Right? Sounds like Romans, doesn't it? All have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. We've tried to get to the glory of God. We've tried to have a relationship with the Lord on our own merit. It doesn't work out. We fall short. That's why it comes in and says in Romans 4, the imputation of Jesus Christ's righteousness covers us. It's what he did, and we accept that, that covers our sins. Well, now we know we have this liberty. My friends, the sad commentary, as with many Christians, but especially with this people of Galatia, is found in Galatians 4 and verse 9. He says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak, notice, weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? A lot of people are like that. After they're set free, why would you go back into bondage? Why would you go back to those, notice how he says it, weak and beggarly elements, those things that put you into bondage? But that's exactly what these people did. That's exactly what we can do if we are not, we're not careful. We must understand this. Paul worked tirelessly with his church and with these churches, with these people, to win them to Christ, to teach them the Word of God, only to see them go away. Again, if you will, turn back to chapter 3 with me. Chapter 3 and verse 1, notice what he says. O foolish Galatians! He's not trying to insult them. He's trying to help them to see that he says, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. That word bewitched literally means to malign or to fascinate. Who's cast a spell on you? It cast a spell on you. Remember that song? No, that's not a good song. Oh, by the way, I messed up. Miss Deanne corrected me. A few weeks ago, I don't even know why I shouldn't even bring these songs up, but I said that the mamas and the papas sang to everything turn is wrong. It's the birds, right? The birds. Okay, just to correct. That's a doctrinal thing I need to correct. I'm just kidding. You think about it. He says, who hath bewitched you? Who hath cast a spell on you? Who hath maligned you? And by the way, it's usually a who. It's a who. Somebody in your life, somebody around you, somebody in my life, can often lead us astray. That's why I want to caution you. Be very careful who you listen to. Be very careful who you watch and are tuned into. Your friendships, your circle of influence. Be very careful who you allow into your home, who you allow in. Why? Because we have to be careful. We have to be very cautious.
I want to serve Christ. I want to please Him. Now, I know you folks are. You're careful. Again, as I said in Galatians 1, he says, I marvel you're so soon removed. In Galatians 5 and verse 7, he says, ye did run well. Who, there it is again, did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who stopped you from obeying the truth? Who hindered you? By the way, the adversary will throw a lot of hindrances in front of you. And I said this before, but take those stumbling stones and make them a stepping stone. People take a stumbling block or stumbling stone and they trip over it and they stay down. Well, I tried to do my best, tried to be faithful to church, you know, and everything's falling, marriage ain't working out, the kid, everything's falling apart, finances are terrible. No, take that block and put it in front and say, you know, I'm going to use that to press on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Why? I want higher ground. Take that and use it. Again, understanding this here. Okay, now, notice there's some things, and I want to cover just a few here this morning, that are things leading us to the opposite direction. Bondage. We have liberty, we have bondage. Liberty and bondage. Now, notice the first thing. What are things that bring us to bondage? Number one, there's the bondage of the law, as we talked about in chapter 5. He says you've gone back to the law. Now, Paul came through and preached to this church, but then there came what's called the Judaizers, those men that were Jews, leaders of the Jews, that came in behind Paul and said, now, Paul taught you this, but let me tell you the truth. Paul told you to do, let me tell you what the real truth is. You need to come back under the law. You need to come back under the Levitical Mosaic law. Again, what was the law for? It was to bring us to Christ. What was the law for? It was to bring us, a schoolmaster, to bring us unto who? Christ, where the true liberty is. Okay? A lot of people implement the law, go back under the law. No, we follow the scripture. The bondage of the law. He says, and if you're still around chapter 3, notice what he says. This only, verse 2, would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He says you've suffered a lot of things. They were persecuted, just as the other churches. The church at Philippi was persecuted. The church at Ephesus was persecuted. The church at Colossae was persecuted. And Thessalonica, and so on and so forth. They were persecuted. Why? Because they were going against the grain. They were going against the law. And he's now making a point saying, now, are you don't understand here. You've begun in the Spirit. You are not made perfect or complete by the flesh. There's the bondage of the law. Now, you know and understand Jesus points this out in the New Testament. You recall what he says. In that great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he comes and says what? The law says, and then he says this, but I say unto you. You see how he just superseded the law? Here's the law, he says, but let me say. And the close of that sermon, what's it say? The people marveled. Why? Because he preached as one that had authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. He has authority. My friends, he's all we need. But he says the Bible says, or the law, excuse me, the law says not to do this. The law says not to steal. The law says not to commit adultery. But I say unto you. Can I say secondly, there's the bondage of the fear of death. There's a fear of death. You know, a lot of people are afraid to die. Very fascinating thing. I don't know fascinating, but the truth of it is that Christians, we that know where we're going, we don't want to die, but we don't have a fear of death. This is what has been throughout human history. People can't understand this. Many people. There's a man by the name of John Huss over in Germany many, many decades ago, centuries ago. And he made the statement, he was tied to the stake and they lit the fire under his feet, right? What I preach with my lips, I now seal with my blood. Now, you don't say that if you're scared to die. He knew where he was going. We could go on and go on. William Tyndale, which gave us our English Bible, as he was tied to the stake and was about to be strangled to death and then lit on fire, what does he say? Open the eyes of the King of England. And only a few short years later, what happened? King James commissioned them to what? Put into the market the English Bible. We go on. I'm thinking about today, though. Do you have a fear of death? Number one, do you know you're saved? Do you have confirmation of that? Do you have assurance of that? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, it says, he says, I wrote these things unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not guess at, not assume. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I hope at the end of my life, my good outweighs my bad. That's not biblical. The Bible says we can know for sure we're saved. We can know for sure. It's putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross. Not of works, not of my works. It's by faith, by grace through faith. Hebrews chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there with me. Hebrews 2. I better turn there before I do misquote it. Hebrews chapter 2. Notice what he says in verse 14. This is something can bring us into bondage. It's that fear of death. Notice what he says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And notice this. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? There it is. Bondage. People are fearful of death. And the adversary wants, the devil, Satan, wants to get you fearful of death. Scared of it. Now, we don't go out like crazy maniacs and look for death. You know, I have a couple friends, as I said before, they like to go skydiving and do that stuff. No way, man. I'm too scaredy cat. I can't. Some of you maybe like doing that stuff. I can't. I don't want to tempt God, you know. let me ride the edge here and see. No. There's people that are fearful of death. That can bring us into bondage. And he says there again in Galatians that he's brought us out of that. Brought us out. They will do all they can to save or preserve life. That's the world, isn't it? All they can. They take all the medication they can. They do all this plastic surgery. They do everything to preserve life. They want to do something to preserve their life. And being careful about that. Why is it God... We know that you're in control, and I want to serve you the best I can. I'm talking this morning again about what? Being steadfast in our liberty. We see, thirdly, can I say, the bondage of the fear of man, the fear of man. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man brings a snare. You ever as a maybe a boy or a small girl, go out and you set a snare for a little rabbit or a little squirrel or something. I sure do. You take that little, make a little loop, tie it between maybe two sticks or trees, and right where their path, you see their little pathway. When that little rabbit comes through, what, he steps right on that and he pulls and it cinches down on its little paw. And the more and more they, harder and harder they pull, it gets tighter and tighter, doesn't it? Tighter and tighter, to where they can't move. And depending on what happens, you come back the next day or whatever, you find it there. That's what he says, it's a snare. The fear of man is a snare. As we come back and understand that our fear needs to be to God and God alone, Jesus Christ. Why I don't serve Christ like I should? Fear of man. Why I'm fearful to share the gospel when I should? Fear of man. Right? We go on. And you think about this today, we fear the wrong things. There's so many fears today. I looked a list of things. There's so many names of different fears. Have you heard of all these? I can't even quote, I don't know the name. Arachnophobia, right? Fear of spiders, remember that? whatever else, I can't quote, I don't know how to say the names, but many fears out there that people have, a lot of fear. And he says, make sure you're fearing God. Keep your eyes on Christ, that I may please him. The testimony of Enoch. Jesus Christ said, I do always those things that please him, talking about the Lord, the Father. We ought to seek that. Oh, my friends, what brings liberty to us? We understand and know that I only am seeking the pleasure of God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that matters to me. I want to please him. And when we please him, we'll go against the grain of the world. They don't like us. That's why Jesus reminded us and said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Why? Because you follow me. You follow me. Now, let me say a few more and we'll wrap it up here. Next, can I say there's the bondage of the flesh, of the flesh. Paul says repeatedly that what? We must be careful about this. The flesh is seeking to what? Destroy us. The flesh wants to take us and put us in bad positions. Now, thinking through this today, you and I know this. We can't trust our flesh. Oh, he says something about carnality, doesn't he? Being carnal. Ye are yet carnal. It'll betray us. We think it's pleasurable, we think it's good, but it's usually temporal. It's temporal. Very, very careful. The flesh that comes in and destroys and betrays us so often, that's why we come back to the Word of God. We must understand something, that we prove all things. We don't prove it according to our emotional state. We don't prove it according to how we feel. Why? It always throws us off. You have something called intuition, right? You come into a situation, you go, this isn't good, or I don't have a good feeling about that person. And that's something God gave to us. As we get saved, though, as we're saved, we understand the Holy Spirit now guides us and not our own intuition or emotions. So we come back to this and say, God's given me something to prove things with. That's the Word of God. Not going off what I feel, not going off how I feel, because Mondays, it's not too good. Tuesday's a little better. Wednesday, I don't feel too good. Thursday's maybe a little better. Friday comes, praise God, you get off work, you get home, there's problems. Saturday comes, you're hoping to rest and relax and kick your feet up, and your husband makes you do things around the house. We were joking. And I got my wife to do some things too. She's been cleaning the house, and she's been all over the place. And she said, I'm just nesting, you know. The baby's about to come. She's just all cleaning everything. And yesterday I'm sitting on the couch, and she made me put my feet up, you know. And she's vacuuming under me and all this. I said, can you do this a little later? No. There's so many things. As we think about, we have to come back to the Word of God, understanding what God desires for us. We come back to the Word of God. The flesh will betray us. The flesh will take us and throw us under the bus. We know that. Can I say here again, the bondage of money? Oh, we've been talking about on Sunday evenings, the believer's economics. The believer's economics and thinking about the bondage of things. And knowing that, so many verses, I won't read all of them. We're talking about this in Luke chapter 12. Let me read this to you. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, bigger, higher, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you ever talk to yourself? Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Oh, I got a retirement here. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry, relax. What's God say? God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Think about that. Isn't that the world today? If I'm not careful, I do the same. Lay up treasure. We ought to have some type of security. We know that. You work tirelessly. You work hard for your money. That's good. We have to have that. But he's making a point here. The man put an emphasis on money above God. He idolized and worshiped the money over the things of God. That's where we get into trouble. And Paul tells Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 6, he says, money is the root of all evil. Doesn't say that, does it? It says the love of money. The love of money. People think if you have money, oh, you're evil. You're vain. You worship money. No, we don't. God's blessed many people with money because he knows he can trust them. He says the love of money. When you put money above God and above the things of God and above the Word of God, my friends, we understand. I'm just saying today some bondage that we enter into. We can have liberty today. That liberty that those great forefathers spoke of, that they took and they defeated a mighty military. And they said, we can have freedom. We can fight for our rights. We can fight for what we believe is a God-given right of human freedom and liberty. Let me say lastly here, we can have the bondage not only of things, materialism, the flesh, the fear of man, the law. We can have bondage of self, just self. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican right here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Blah, 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 he goes on. And what does that guy next to him say? Says he beats his chest and looks up and with a tear in his eye says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it says, which one went down justified? That man. The other guy said, oh, Lord, you know who I am. Oh, I'm such a clean man and you know how hard I serve you and how dedicated I am. God says that makes me sick. I want to know that you know who you are. That you can do nothing without me. Galatians 6, as he continues on in verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Isn't it wonderful we gather together today? None of us are better than each other. We're all sinners saved by grace, praise God.
You may have a little bit more money than another person, or you may have a little more talent than another person, or whatever the case may be. You may have a little more, few more degrees on your wall in your office. I don't know what it would be. But I tell you today that we're all together in humility and knowing that we're out of bondage, not because of self. I didn't break the chains my own self. I didn't break those myself. Jesus Christ did it. And it's till the day I came and realized that it was not of works. It's nothing I can do. I have to trust in what He did. And I humbly come as that publican and say, Father, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I understand who I am. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I can't do it on my own. Lord, and it's You. And that liberty wherewith He's made us free. And Paul says here, lastly, stand fast. Stand fast. In that liberty, do you standing fast today? Have you struggled to stand fast? Have you struggled to be steadfast in the things God given to you? We can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because of what Christ did. Can't do it on our own. There's no way. It's impossible. No way. Your structure is only as strong as your foundation. It's only as strong as your foundation. You've got to have a solid foundation. That's why we put so much emphasis into the foundation when you build a home. It takes time. It takes inspections. It takes work, all of that. Why? Because you want to make sure you have a sound structure. My friends, today your sound foundation is not in self. It's not in the law. It's not in materialism. It's not in the flesh. It's in Jesus Christ alone. And I hope you understand that, and I know you do. The liberty today. As you go out today and then, Lord willing, tomorrow, you think about all that people will be talking about, all our nation will be promoting, the liberty we have, the freedom, but we've forgotten where we got that liberty. We've forgotten as a nation, as a whole, where it came from. And sadly, we've seen history repeat itself. And we know one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. And the nation that's mighty and powerful and it, what? Goes away from God, goes away from the Word of God, begins to what? Believe in a very foolish way that it created itself, and it's because it's of its own good qualities. What happens? It ends up in destruction. In the case of Israel, it ended up in captivity. And as we've been looking at on Wednesday evenings, the end times, it's coming real soon, I believe. God's going to put a stop to all of this, and He's going to call us home, those that believe. Anyways, are you free today? Liberty? Again, let me just emphasize, I try to do in my messages, but emphasize the gospel. You've got to be saved, my friends. You say, I don't know if I've ever done that. It's very simple. You ever put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross? Not of works, not in church membership, not in baptism, not in an affiliation of some kind to some group. No, it's between you and Him, isn't it? Him alone. Do you know that? Do you know that today? I'll stop there for this morning, and I thank you again for listening, and I pray that God will bless you this weekend. Let's have a word of prayer, Lord. I thank you again for your grace. Again, as I talked about, though, our freedom and liberty we have in you. What a joy. As we think about this weekend, our liberty as a nation, when 3/4 of the world today are in bondage, they are striving and working tirelessly for pennies. They really have nothing to eat. So many are starving today across our world. They're living under a dictator that is literally and physically putting them into bondage and prison and torturing and hurting. We think about all of this and we have our great nation here that we have our freedom. We sit in a nice padded chair today, air-conditioned room. We have our health. What is of it? We have so many things. We're so thankful. Lord, may we focus back on the reason we have all of that is because of You. And I pray for Your help, Lord. Guide us now and help us. Thank You for this truth You've brought out to us this morning. May we take and apply it to our lives. In Thy precious holy name of Jesus we pray, and amen.